Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse, and it reads, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the first story taken from the 5th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The title of this chapter is Farmer's Market, and the title of the podcast today is Work in the Garden. I'd like to welcome everyone to this first podcast in a new series we have on the network. Our program today starts a new book challenge. So, if you didn't complete the previous challenge that was started 1 year ago, you can begin fresh with the motivation that you still can do it. You still can write that book. As before, I'll be giving you some pointers on how to develop the manuscript. As you all know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic with the coronavirus. Not only that, but our country has been devastated by another series of social injustices with the senseless killings of American citizens of color by police. The demonstrations and the largely separate incidences of violence in many of our cities have been historic. While things are beginning to reopen now, at the time of this broadcast, it's still a good opportunity to take advantage of more time at home. You can start writing in the convenience of your home. And in the coming weeks, as I said before, I'll be giving you ideas that hopefully you can use as you start your writing. Before we get to our story of the week, I want to focus now on the foundation in which all of the stories on the Storytelling Time podcast are told. This week's story, as well as all the others, are based on true events, events that have happened to those willing to share their experiences. Some of these experiences are a part of my own history. Unfortunately, not all our memories are good ones. But even the bad experiences are designed to guide us along life's journey. A favorite scripture of mine is Romans 8:28, which says, "All things work together for good, to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose." As I've said on many occasions, we as believers are called to do just that. Believe that the God of the Bible will deliver us. Until then, we must fight the good fight of faith. The scripture says faith without works is dead. Therefore, to fulfill this divine purpose, we must continue to fight, while not promoting violence, with the goal of attaining justice for all. And in spite of any global pandemic or social injustice that continue to plague us, my suggestion to you is, if you haven't already done so, to find your purpose. And if you do, as I say at the end of each podcast, regardless of what you may be going through, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll be right back with our story after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Late summer in eastern Iowa can be very hot, and in the rural community of Sanford, just west of the state's largest city, Des Moines, people were usually in a relaxed state of being. After all, what can anybody do with temperatures hovering around 90 degrees on a daily basis? People in this small Midwestern community, as well as throughout the region as a whole, carry on their daily activities while relishing the quietness that usually prevail. Many of the folks there were farmers of one type or another, and whether it was tending a small vegetable garden, managing a large-scale soybean or corn crop for sale on the open market, or raising pigs, chickens, or other animal for profit, people enjoyed this lifestyle of working directly on the land. Jerry Hargrove certainly had benefited from this way of life. His story was one of challenge, persistence, and a willingness to overcome the obstacles in life to live very successfully as a farmer. Jerry was raised by his grandparents, Mason and Geraldine Hope. Jerry's mother decided to give the responsibility of raising him to her parents because she and her new husband had Jerry at a very young age. While Jerry lived with his grandparents in Sanford, his young mother and her new husband ended up in nearby Des Moines, where there were more opportunities for the both of them to gain the jobs that they felt they needed. Jerry and his grandparents lived in a nice house on a street lined with maple trees and wide sidewalks. While there was considerable distance between houses in the neighborhood, it was quiet and the neighbors were friendly. It was a model of modern farm living. Jerry grew to love the constant pampering that his grandparents gave him. He enjoyed a separate bedroom and had available to him a recreational room with pool and ping pong tables. He especially loved playing those games with his grandfather. As a kid and even in early adulthood, this was what he had dreamed about, having someday, his own home and farm. Later in life, it would certainly be within reach. Jerry was well versed in farming because he was around his grandfather a lot while growing up. Mason supported his family by growing all types of vegetables from okra and sweet corn to butter beans and tomatoes. He also grew a fair amount of collard greens, field peas, and sweet potatoes. Jerry's grandmother turned those sweet potatoes that were grown in the field into candied yams and indescribable sweet potato pies. His grandparents' farm was sort of a farmer's market. Often, Jerry would get to ride in his grandfather's large, heavy-duty truck that was more than sufficient for carrying all kinds of produce, as well as farm tools and equipment, to where business could be conducted. "Come on, Jerry," his grandfather said one Saturday morning, trying to motivate his grandson to come along with him to conduct business in town. After breakfast, Mason started the truck up, and they were off. They traveled about 30 miles before arriving in the small town of Loveby. Mason sold much of what he produced to local food stores and to the local farmers market, which was located on the outskirts of town. At the end of the day, while coming back home, they stopped by a few homes in the neighborhood where people craved the freshness of his produce. Many of his neighbors had grown accustomed to Jerry's grandfather coming by their house with all of the many good fruits and vegetables they had grown. Neighbors loved doing business with the Hopes. While Jerry's grandfather sold much of his product, he ended up giving away much of it to the needy in the community. Jerry took note of the success that his grandfather had in conducting his farm as a profitable business and was especially impressed with that truck. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. During the summer, when Jerry was not in school, he would help Mason with much of the work in the garden. They would get up early in the morning, often before the sun came up, and by the time they both were dressed, the sun would be just above the eastern horizon. On these days, Geraldine would have a nice breakfast for them before they were ready to go out to work. "Come on, Mason and Jerry, breakfast is ready," she would say. Even before they got to the kitchen table, the smell of bacon and eggs would attract them to that part of the house without her even telling them that their food was ready. After breakfast, Jerry and his grandfather would go out to work. And at that time, so early in the morning, there would hardly be enough sunlight to see, but they would soon begin to walk up and down each row of the garden, preparing the soil for the planting of seeds and small vegetables. After the crops had grown a little, they would delicately break up the soil in order to keep the weeds from developing. By late summer, even early in the morning, the temperature often would rise into the 80s. Mason had developed a sophisticated irrigation system to deal with the sweltering temperatures at this time of year, so the plants and the soil around them would be sufficiently watered. By midday, both Jerry and his grandfather would be sweaty in their dirt soil clothing and look forward to lunchtime. His grandmother would holler out of her small kitchen window, "Come on in, you two. Your lunch is ready." Before entering the door, she admonished them, "Take off those shoes and dirty socks, you hear?" Geraldine would have a huge bowl of soup with cornbread or muffins waiting for them. Some good old homemade lemonade was also in the offering. After about an hour of rest, Mason and Jerry would be back in their rather large garden to attend to the crops. They usually would finish in the garden by 4 p.m. After that time, they would manage several chicken coops and a pig pen up until about 7:00. The end of the workday had finally arrived. After another hard day's work, they both would come inside and have dinner that Geraldine prepared, followed by a time to relax. After dinner, Jerry would be happy reading a book, and Mason would just sit on the front porch with his wife, enjoying the scenery and a refreshing rain shower that would surely help his garden. Just beyond their house, there was a seldom used road, and in the distance, as far as anyone could see, there was a railroad where occasionally a freight train or a passenger train would pass. Let's take another break, and when we return, we'll close the show. Welcome back. As I said at the beginning of this podcast, I'm looking forward to working with many of you as you start to write your book. And for others who have already started, hopefully valuable information will be provided on these podcasts that will assist you as you continue to develop your book. I know these are challenging times, with a global pandemic and civil unrest due largely to the killing of George Floyd by a Minnesota policeman a few weeks prior to the airing of this podcast. Nevertheless, as believers, we can still say with confidence that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.